Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Learning to Fly the podcast. Today, I've decided that I want to take some poems that I've been introduced to through various workshops in the last year or so and share them with you guys in case you haven't been exposed to them. They are on a wide variety of topics by a wide variety of authors, and I think part of that is why I'm so excited to share them with you. And honestly, I think today's episode is just reminding us to branch out in where we find content and what we consider meaningful content, because I'll admit some of these pieces, they hit home when I was introduced to them, but now I have different feelings, and vice versa. Some of them didn't make any sense to me at the beginning, but now I see some really cool merit in them. And it's just a reminder that sometimes your opinion and perspective changes. And that is why I'm excited to share these with you. Our first poem of the day is Soil by Irene Matthew. Soil. The way you say soil sounds like soul, as in, after we walked through the woods, our feet were covered in soul. When it rains, the soul turns to mud. The soul is made of the decomposed plant and animal matter. Edaphology is the study of the soul's influence on living things, while pedology is the study of how the soul is formed. Its particular granularity. You are rooted in a certain red patch of soul that bled you and your 100 cousins to life, a slow, warm river you call home. Maybe there is soul under everything, even when we strike rock first. The way you say soil, you make a poem out of every speck of dirt. This next poem is Sarah Kay's The Ghost Ship. I would like to point out I really wanted to share her poem Orange with you, but unfortunately I can't find a transcript version of it, so I highly, highly, highly recommend going to YouTube and finding it for yourself, because my god, is it a fabulous poem. Okay, anyway, this is Ghost Ship by Sarah Kay. In the second grade, every song was a handful of orange Tic Tacs rolling around my tongue. I knew all the words, could feel them tangy, round, and smooth, but didn't care which one was which. I could sing back the Beatles perfectly with words all smashed together. I was the first one to memorize any song the music teacher gave us. My favorite was The Ghost Ship. The words meant nothing to me, but the melody was full of ragged sails and midnight hurricanes. It was all port and starboard. I sang it till the winds ran out of me. My little brother was 4 years younger, but 2 steps ahead. He memorized the shapes my mouth made, practiced them tirelessly. We shoved the words at each other as though it was a competition to see who could get them out the fastest, who could draw them out the longest, and the cold wind blew. By the time it was his turn to learn it in music class 4 years later, he already knew the song so well, he confused the teacher. My fist-chested brother, a fireplace shotgun waiting for his chance. Little girls learn how to sing The Perfect Man before we even know what the lyrics mean. Strong arms, good hair, wide eyes, brave heart, big money, kind hands. We build model ships in bottles, whispering life to the toothpicks and wire. We make plans and blueprints for the one we hope is coming, and they come, they do. Fleet and vessels, battleships and barges, they arrive on the horizon, flags to the sky. I have seen what can happen when a woman tries to make a dinghy into a galleon. Sometimes a rowboat is all you need. Sometimes a whaler, a ferry, our model ships look perfect in their bottles, but we do not know if they are seaworthy. Sometimes the one that reaches your harbor has already been through the storm. Sometimes you cannot see the leaking until you are so close, until you are already out at sea, trying to batten down the hatches, bailing the water, pooling at your ankles, manning the rigging alone. My little brother pushed off from the shore before the tide had turned his way, always two steps ahead. For years, I didn't want him going under. I tried to anchor him against the storms, throw him safety nets and buoys, trained myself in CPR. I have known so many men whose hulls have been hollowed by the salt of the sea, whose sails are pulled so tightly into the wind, whose rudders no longer point to anything but drowning. How do you keep a boy floating? How do you keep him above the ache? Men will drift eternal. Men will say it's just a scratch when the cannons have shot them full of holes. They will look at their tiny driftwood tied with strings and say ship. They will look at the broken wheel between their hands and say captain. They will look at the men who have jumped overboard without them and say crew. Today my brother is 20 years handsome. He is smirk and motor, femur strong and decision heavy. His desks have been worn down by the feet of others, but the compass always points north. I can hear the cabin creak. The chains rattle, the ladders sag. It has been a decade since I have heard him sing. We are in Ireland, a country we have never been to. I have rented us a car I cannot drive, and I have been maneuvering us gracelessly through the green, green countryside toward the cliffs of the western coast. The rain is a diligent mother who checks on us every few hours. The sky is endless gray. My brother's quiet fills the car like a family holiday. I turn on the radio to mask the fog. The shoreline arrives beneath us suddenly, the way all shorelines do, full and vast, crumbling away at all our stubborn solidness. And there, standing against the crashing sea, sits a massive body of a shipwreck. As though all of history has been gifted to us, we are giddy with adventure, we are skipping over the rocks, we are shouting to the wild horses and the ocean's roar. The jagged porthole opens to us, we pull ourselves into the boat's hungry mouth. It is empty and whole, full of speed ahead, prow to stern, fore to aft, we climb until we are scraped and muddy. Rest, children, with the lighthouse eyes. We together start to sing the words we've known since childhood, as though they have been drifting through us, lost at sea, waiting for the right current of the safe harbor. Oh, brother, no matter your wreckage, there will be someone to find you beautiful despite the cruddy metal. Your ruin is not to be hidden behind paint and canvas. Let them see the cracks. Someone will come to sing into the empty spaces. Their voice will echo off your insides like a second grader and her little brother, 4 years younger, two steps ahead. Singing till the metal vibrates, till the ghost ship rings. This next poem is Old Glory by Ocean Vaughn. Knock 'em dead, big guy. Go in their guns, blazing, buddy. You crushed at that show. No, it was a blowout. No, it was a massacre. Total overkill. We tore them a new one. My son's a beast. A lady killer. Straight shooter, he knocked her up. A blonde, a bombshell blonde. You'll blow them away. Let's back the broad, let's spit roast them away, let's spit roast the faggot, let's fuck his brains out. That girl's a grenade, it was like Nam down there. I'd still slam it though, I'd smash it good. I'm cracking up, it's hilarious. You've truly murdered, you had me dying over here. Bro, for real though, I'm dead. This next one is a really interesting poem, and again, I'm really, really, really happy that I was introduced to it, but it is actually a after for two different pieces of work. So this is For Everyone Who Tried on the Slipper Before Cinderella by Ariana Brown, and it's after Anis Morajani and Audre Lorde poems. For those making tea in the soft light of a Saturday morning, in the peaceful kitchen, in the cool house. For those with shrunken hearts still trying to love. For those with large hearts trying to forget. For those with terrors they cannot name, upset stomachs and too tight pants. For those who get cut off in traffic. For those who spend all day making an elaborate meal that turns out mediocre. For those who could not leave even when they knew they had to. For those who never win the lottery or become famous. For those getting groceries on Friday nights. There is something about, you know, about living that you guard with your life, your one fragile, wonderful life, wonder as in awe, as in, I had no idea I would be here now. For those who make plans and those who don't, for those driving across the country to a highway that knows them, for the routes that we take in the dark, twisting, for the roads, for the woods, for the dead humming in prayer, for the old record and a strong sun, for the teeth barred to the west, a pulse in the chat, a body making love to itself. There is every reason to hate it here. There is a list of things making it unbearable. Your friend's shoulder, Texas barbecue, a new book, a long, loud song, a strong song, a highway that knows you, sweet tea, an orange cat, a helping hand, an unforgettable dinner, a laugh that escapes you and deflates you like a pink balloon left soft with a room for goodness to take hold. For those who have looked in the mirror and begged, for those with the weak knees and an attitude, for those called sensitive or too much, for those called not enough, for those times you needed and went without, for the photo of you as a child, quietly icing cupcakes, your hair a crackling thunderstorm, love is coming, it's on the way, look. This is Meanwhile by Jack Gilbert. It waits. While I am walking through the pine trees along the river, it is waiting. It has waited a long time, in southern France, in Belgium, even in Alabama. Now it waits in New England while I say grace over almost everything, for a dead possum on someone's lawn, the sing light on a levee while Northampton sleeps, and because the lanes between the houses in the Greek hamlets are exactly the width of a donkey loaded on each side with barley. Loneliness is the mother's milk of America. The heart is foreign country whose language none of us are good at. Winter lingers on in the woods, but already it looks discarded as the birds return and sing carelessly, as though there never was the power or size of December. For 9 years in me it has waited. My life is pleasant as usual. My body is a blessing and my spirit is clear, but the waiting does not let up. The Sunset and the Purple Flowered Tree by Joshua Jennifer Espinoza. I talk to a screen who assures me everything is fine. I am not broken. I am not depressed. I am simply in touch with the material conditions of my life. It is the end of the world, and it's fine. People laugh about this, self-soothing engine sputtering through a nosedive. Not me. I've gone and lost my sense of humor when I needed it most. This is why I speak smoke into a scene. I dance against language and abandon verse halfway through, like a broken-throated singer. I wander around the front yard, pathless as a little ant at the tip of a curled-up cactus. Birds flit in and out of shining branches. A garden blooms large in my throat. Color and life conspire against my idea of the world. I have to laugh until I am crying, make an ocean to land upon in this sea of flames. Here I am, another late winter afternoon, the sunset and the purple flowered tree, trying their best to keep me alive. This next poem is Winter Solstice, and it's from Love and Other Poems by Alex Dimitrov. Again, it's the longest night of the year. The city closer to a replica of movie sets, its garish streets announcing what cannot be measured, silence. who we are in mirrors, neon in the gray. Three pigeons huddle under a bar light. A couple argues in a diner while a server brings their check. It's unclear what history has done to them, or even the last 5 minutes. Besides, who knows what to do with love? It may not make it through one cigarette, and it's enough to kill you. How dark it is, how cold we seem, even in our own misery, all the while knowing we will miss this. We will miss this when it ends. Alrighty, guys, I know that is a lot of poetry, but we're going to pause here to shout out one of the amazing creators in our community, and then we'll be back with just a few more poems. So hang tight, and thanks for making it this far. Alrighty, so I know I talked about this just a few days ago, but Gabicato, one of my very dear, very sweet friends, decided that she was going to start a podcast for the new year. And it is called Soul Fed, and she really talks about everything that she talks about in the rest of her platforms and community, but I really love this podcast format because you can listen to it on the go, because each episode might pertain differently to you and your experiences, and sometimes hearing a person talk about something is more... is almost more authentic than just reading it, because you can get the tone, you can see their expressions, you can get a fuller picture of what's going on. And I love everything Gabby has. I love her cookbooks. I love her self-compassion guide. I love Gabby. I mean, she's just an amazing person, and I really just want to encourage you to consider adding Soul Fed to your rotation of podcasts. So there's going to be a link to Soul Fed in today's episode description, and we'll get back to the poetry, but make sure you check Gabby out because she's awesome. Alrighty, so as we come back, these next two poems are both by Natalie Diaz from her collection When My Brother Was an Aztec. And believe it or not, I was introduced to Natalie Diaz for the first time in a workshop. So yeah, we're going to share these. When the beloved asks, what would you do if I woke up, if you woke up and I was a shark, by Natalie Diaz. My lover doesn't realize that I've contemplated this scenario, fingered it like a smooth inner iridescence of a nautilus shell in the shadow-long waters of many 2 a.m.s, drunk on the brine of shoulder blades, those pale horns of shore I am wrecked upon, my mind treading the wine-dark waves of luxurious tempests, and as a matter of preparedness, and because I do not sleep for fear of such things, or even other things, I have read that ocean is a long, large pot of the apocalypse soup soon to boil over with our sins. But the thing is a thing, especially if it's a 420 million year old beast, especially if you have wronged as many as I. Beauty, it is simple, more simple than a beloved can imagine. I wouldn't fight, not kick, flail, not carry on like one driven mad by the black neoprene wetsuit of death, not like the sad-mouthed, despair-eyed albacore, nor blubbery pinheads. I wouldn't rage the city's flickering streets of Ampeline of Lorazzini, nor slug my ferocious, streamlined lover's titanium white nose. That bull's eyes of cartilage, no, I wouldn't prolong it. Instead, I'd place my head into the dark altar of jaws, prostrated pilgrim at Melville's glittering gates, climb into that mysterious window starred with teeth. The one lit room in the channel house. I, at once mariner, at once pirate, would navigate my want by those throbbing constellations. I'd wear those jaws like a toothy psyllus, slip into the glitzy red gown of penance, and I would be no different than what I do each day, voyage the salt-sharp sea of your body, sometimes mooring the ports and erecting the sextant, then mending the purple sails and hoisting the masts before bringing bound to them. Beloved is loved. What you cannot know is I am overboard for this metamorphosis, ready to be raptured to that mouth, reduced to a swell of wet clothes as you roll back your eyes and drag me into the fathoms. This is my brother at 3 a.m. He sat cross-legged, weeping on the steps when Mom unlocked and opened the front door. "Oh, God," he said. "Oh, God, he wants to kill me, Mom." When Mom unlocked and opened the front door at 3 a.m., she was in her nightgown. Dad was asleep. "He wants to kill me," he told her, looking over his shoulder. 3 a.m. and in her nightgown, Dad asleep. "What's going on?" she asked. "Who wants to kill you?" He looked over his shoulder. "The devil does. Look at him over there." She asked, "What are you on? Who wants to kill you?" The sky wasn't black or blue, but green of a dying night. "The devil, look at him over there," he pointed to the corner house. The sky wasn't black or blue, but it was the dying green of night. Stars had closed their eyes or sheathed their knives. My brother pointed to the corner house. His lips flickered with sores. Stars had closed their eyes or sheathed their knives. "Oh, God, I can see his tail," he said. "Oh, God, look." Mom winced the sores on his lips. "It's sticking out from behind the house." "Oh, God, see the tail," he said. "Look at the goddamn tail." He sat cross-legged, weeping on the front steps. Mom finally saw it. A hellish vision. My brother. "Oh, God. Oh, God," she said. And the final poem that I'm going to share with us is an Ada Limone poem. This is Dead Stars. And this isn't necessarily a new-to-me poem. This also isn't necessarily a workshop poem, although it was used in one fairly recently. But Ada Limone is currently the U.S. Poet Laureate, and that is really fucking cool. Like, of all the people to get this honor, she is most definitely one of my top choices, and I'm thrilled. So, I really just wanted to end off on that note, like, oh my God, look at this! And just kind of fangirl out. So, that's what we're doing with this one. This is Dead Stars by Ada Limone. Out here, there's a bowing even the trees are doing. Winter's icy hand at the back of all of us. Black bark, slick yellow leaves, a kind of stillness that feels so mute it's almost in another year. I am a hearth of spiders these days, a nest of trying. We point out the stars that make Orion as we take out the trash, the rolling containers of a song of a suburban thunder. It's almost romantic as we adjust the waxy blue recycling bin until you say, "Man, we really should learn some new constellations." And it's true, we keep forgetting about Antla, Centaurus, Draco, Lacerta, Hydra, Laura, Lynx. But mostly, we're forgetting we're dead stars too. My mouth is full of dust, and I wish to reclaim the rising. To lean into the spotlight of the streetlight with you, toward what's larger within us, toward how we were born. Look, we are not unspectacular things. We've come this far, survived this much. What would happen if we decided to survive more, to love harder? What if we stood up with our synapses and flesh and said no, no to the rising tides, stood for the many mute mouths of the sea and of the land? What would happen if we used our bodies to bargain for the safety of others, for Earth, if we declared a clean night, if we stopped being terrified, if we launched our demands into the sky, made ourselves so big people could point to us with arrows they make in their minds, rolling their trash bins out, after all of this is over? Alrighty. Thank you so very much for listening to today's episode of Learning to Fly. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Remember to go check out Gabby's podcast, Soul Fed, and I'll see you again soon. Thanks so much.